Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. And on the front page, we have a story entitled Ridge Farm Groups to Mark Traditional Memorial Day by Mary Wyckoff. Ridge Farm. Stan Richardson is passionate about observing Memorial Day on the original date, May 30th. I'm a hardcore veteran, and I believe the 30th of May is the day we honor our veterans, said Richardson, a member of the Chrisman American Legion and Ridge Farm Masonic Lodge. We are one of the few, if not the only one, that celebrates on the original Memorial Day. This is the sixth year that the ceremony will be conducted on the traditional date of Decoration Day, and not on the last Monday of the month, as other places have done. This year, the event will start at 11 a.m. Thursday at Crown Hill Cemetery on the south edge of the village. It's sponsored by the Ridge Farm Masonic Lodge and Crown Hill Cemetery Board. The Patriot Guard and American Legion riders will be escorted from Georgetown by the police department, ride into the cemetery, and go around the soldiers' circle. Firing a cannon will open the ceremony. Retired Army First Sergeant Rick Janess, a member and past commander of the Chrisman American Legion, will be the speaker. Also featured will be the Reverend James Blue, minister at the Nazarene Church of Olivet, giving the prayer, Lisa Hackler singing the national anthem, and Navy veteran Harold Pusey playing taps on trumpet, not a recording. The Chrisman American Legion Post 477 will serve as color guard. Richardson expects a couple of planes to fly over, adding, "A flyover in a little town like Ridge Farm is unheard of." A World War II veteran will lay a wreath at the memorial wall. A breathtaking sight is a flag display along Illinois Route 1, where about 200 American flags line the route and continue through the cemetery. Also, flags were placed on more than 300 military graves, dating back to the Civil War at Crown Hill. The display on Route 1 had been coordinated by Rick Daly Sr. with the Illinois Patriot Guard. After his death in September 2017, his family vowed to continue the tradition. Rick Daly Jr. and other family members were expected to put the flags up over the weekend. Richardson noted that observing Memorial Day on the original date hasn't hurt attendance, with an average of 100 to 200 people each year. Rain doesn't stop the ceremony either, Richardson said. It rained two of the past 5 years, but the people in attendance didn't flinch. It's amazing. People stand there in the rain like the sun was shining, he said. In the military, there is no such thing as a rain date. People, especially veterans, like the idea of having the ceremony on May 30th, Richardson said. I feel like we need one dedicated day to honor veterans, he said. Without veterans, there wouldn't be any holidays in this country. For most people, he added, it's a 3-day weekend to drink beer and eat hot dogs, and that's not what it's about. I'm dedicated to this thing. Richardson, 78, who served in the Army during the Vietnam War era, grew up in a military family. He and his four brothers served over a total of 50 years, and his wife's three brothers were in the service. The idea for the local ceremony started when Richardson noticed the empty flagpole at the closed grade school. He wondered how many veterans raised the flag on that pole when they were children. With the Masonic Lodge's help, he moved the flagpole to the soldiers' circle in the cemetery and dedicated it 5 years ago. General John Logan with the Grand Army of the Republic first proclaimed Decoration Day on May 30, 1868, a date chosen because it was not the anniversary of any particular battle. Also, it's a time of year when many flowers are in bloom. In 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May to create a 3-day weekend for federal employees. The change went into effect in 1971. Our next story, also from the front page, is entitled Casino Bill Revived in Illinois House Danville still one of the sites considered for gambling expansion. This is by John O'Connor from the Associated Press. Springfield. A massive expansion of casino gambling in Illinois, including a license for Danville, was back with a boost Monday as a Democratic lawmaker took steps to make it part of a popular plan to legalize sports betting. Representative Robert Rita's measure would allow construction of six additional casinos and added gambling seats at existing sites. The Blue Island Democrat said tacking it on to the sports wagering measure would neutralize the web of criticism that has hamstrung the expansion plan. Representative Mike Zalewski, a Riverside Democrat, has been pursuing legalized sports wagering since last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling opened the door for Illinois and other states by ending a Nevada monopoly. Sports betting is a component that everybody is looking for, Rita said, after the executive committee okayed technical action, allowing Rita to proceed. The existing casinos are looking for the sports betting. It's the common denominator that could bring it all together. Advocates say the time is ripe, too. They say the $350 million annual tax revenue from an expansion plan is necessary as additional financing for Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker's $41.5 billion state construction plan, which Pritzker once approved by Friday, the scheduled adjournment of the General Assembly's spring session. Rita's plan has yet to be written into a legislative proposal, but he said it would look similar to past ideas by adding a land-based casino in Chicago and as many as five riverboat casinos, one in Lake County north of the city, another at a site in Chicago's south suburbs, and then one each in Danville, Rockford, and Williamson County, all in southern Illinois. The proposal would also add seats for gambling, including table games at horse racing tracks and the creation of sweepstakes wagering. Past debate has focused on the size and scope of such an expansion, the political and moral resistance to gambling, and which groups would benefit or be left out of construction jobs and gambling revenue. Such proposals have also faced protest from the once mighty horse racing industry, which was decimated over the past three decades by casino wagering. Rita resurrected the idea a year ago during the final week of the legislature's spring session, but it went nowhere. The checkered history of expanding gambling also played a part in the Senate's 2017 failed Grand Bargain plan to break a two-year budget deadlock between Democrats and Republicans. That fight left state finances in tatters. Efforts to expand casino gambling originated nearly a decade ago with the idea for a Chicago casino. The plan was pushed hard by former Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who left office this month after two terms without a casino groundbreaking. That original plan won legislative approval in May of 2011, but Senate President John Cullerton, a Chicago Democrat, used a parliamentary procedure to delay sending the plan to then-Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat who vetoed it after deeming it top-heavy and a pile of garbage. Illinois law currently sanctions 10 riverboat casino licenses. There are casinos in Alton, East Peoria, Rock Island, two in Joliet, Metropolis, Aurora, East St. Louis, Elgin, and Des Plaines. Indiana residents in Vigo County, which includes Terre Haute, about 50 miles southeast of Danville, will vote on a proposed casino possibly during the 2020 election. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb recently signed a bill to expand gambling in the Hoosier State and permitting casino licenses to move. One of the proposed licenses being considered for Terre Haute now is located in Gary, Indiana. And turning to the obituaries for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019, our first one is for Donald Johnson. Donald Don Eugene Johnson, 80, went to be with our Lord and Savior on Sunday, May 26th, 2019, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life service will be at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 29th, at Cedar Grove Church of the Nazarene, 12659 East 2100 North Road, Danville, Illinois. Officiating will be Pastor William Wiggins. A visitation will be from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. prior to the service at the church. In lieu of flowers, the family requests plants or donations may be made to Cedar Grove Church of the Nazarene. Michael Dennis Tate. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Dennis Tate, United States Air Force, retired, 75, passed away May 23, 2019, in Gulfport, Mississippi. Mr. Tate was a native of Ridge Farm, Illinois, and was a resident of Gulfport, Mississippi. Funeral services will be at 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 29th, with visitation starting at 11 a.m. at Riemann Family Funeral Home in Gulfport. The interment will follow at Biloxi National Cemetery, 400 Veterans Avenue, Biloxi, Mississippi. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial contributions to your local homeless veteran organization. Virginia M. Smith. Virginia Mae Smith, 94, of Danville, passed away on May 22, 2019, in peace at the North Logan Nursing Home in Danville. A service will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 29, 2019, at Sunset Memorial Park in the Chapel Mausoleum in Danville, Illinois, at 3901 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Doug Knapp. Entombment will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorial donations may be made to the Danville Library Foundation in Danville. Lisa Allred. Lisa Sarasi Allred, 55, of Carson City, Nevada, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away peacefully April 23, 2019, at her home. Alongside her brother and close friends, we ask that you please join us as we celebrate the life of Lisa Allred from 4 to 8 p.m. Saturday, June 1st, at the Possum Trot Supper Club, 2918 Batestown Road, just west of Danville. James Kraft. James Edward Kraft, 91, of Hot Springs, Arkansas, passed away peacefully Wednesday, May 22, 2019. His surviving nieces and nephews would like to thank St. Vincent, Arkansas Hospice, Father George Sanders, and caregivers Virginia, Carol, Sally, and Dana for their wonderful care. No arrangements were provided. Mary Garman. Mary H. Garman, 59, of Covington, Indiana, and formerly of Edgar County, Illinois, passed away at 5:05 a.m. Friday, May 24, 2019, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. Following cremation, a memorial visitation will be held from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 30, 2019, in Stuart and Carol Funeral Home. Memorial services will be conducted at 10 a.m. Friday, May 31, 2019, in Stuart and Carol Funeral Home. At 303 East Wood Street, Paris, Illinois. Ralph Koch. Ralph Charles Koch, 79, of Ludlow, died at 11:25 p.m. Saturday, May 25, 2019, at VA Ileana Healthcare System in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that is the end of the obituaries for today. We're going to go back and catch up on some other stories and articles that we didn't have time for previously. The first is about the First Church of the Nazarene. This was by Linda Jones for the Commercial News, and originally from, looks like, May 24th. When visitors come to Danville First Nazarene Church at 2212 North Vermilion Street, they are invited to a welcome lunch served once a quarter to meet the staff and learn about the vision and mission of the church. This encourages people to quickly feel part of the church fellowship. The Church of the Nazarene denomination was organized in 1908 and is now home to about 2.5 million members worshiping in more than 29,000 local congregations in 162 world areas. It is a Christian church in the Wesleyan holiness tradition. The first members of Danville First Nazarene met in 1912 on Kimball Street, across from the railroad tracks, in a Swedish Baptist church before moving to several other buildings. They spent many good years at Franklin and Seminary Streets in the original Kimber Methodist Church before constructing their facility on North Vermilion in 1970. Dave Anderson is the lead pastor in the local congregation. He and his wife Lori have 4 children and 12 grandchildren. He has been with First Nazarene since 1989, beginning as an associate pastor and becoming lead pastor in 2007. Because the church cares about its community, they support local parachurch ministries such as Women's Care Clinic and Love Incorporated. They will be furnishing a room for the Women's Care Clinic's new facility on Bowman, and Love Incorporated uses the church building for its community transformation classes. They offer a unique service in their strong support of Edison School, which is located across the street from the church. They give school supplies as well as winter clothing to those in need. They stay in touch with the faculty in offering their services. They also have hosted suppers for parents who need a place to wait during parent-teacher conferences. Recently, the church began a new Nazarene church plant in Paxton by sending staff member Jeremy Stemack to pastor the new congregation known as PaxNaz. It has quickly grown from 20 to 60. First Nazarene in Danville is a thriving church whose motto is Faith, Family, Friendship, Flourish. The church offers a full range of small group opportunities throughout the week that meet in various homes and are hosted by lay leaders. They study a variety of topics and books of the Bible throughout the year. These open an opportunity for new people as well as members who have always been at First Nazarene to grow in their faith and make lasting friendships. The church has a strong creative arts department led by Sarah Chamberlain, who is worship and service coordinator. The creative arts department consists of many components, including choir, praise team, worship band, drama, and the technical areas of sound, media, and lighting. Everyone is welcome to be part of the sanctuary choir. They sing a variety of contemporary songs as well as the old hymns of the church. There are Sunday school classes and activities for children and youth of all ages. There are 5 adult Sunday school classes to choose from. One is designated for young adults. The emphasis at Danville First Nazarene is driven by their faith that Christ is the answer for people who feel disconnected, and it is their desire to welcome those who need a church home to come and grow with them. And next up, we have a past column from Froma Harrop entitled, "Are Low Prices Always a Good Thing?" If you like exploring the great outdoors as I do, you probably enjoy shopping, or at least looking, in those high-end stores serving campers, hikers, and the like. There, the wilderness fantasy rides high. Neat displays of specialized tents, headlamps, and fleece jackets. Often, a stone and wood decor smelling of cedar, and salespeople who know all about trail shoes. Selling upscale garb and gear for outdoor adventures has long been the province of these well-appointed stores, serving a loyal clientele. Some major league disruption, however, has come their way. Walmart recently bought a Michigan-based retailer with the crunchy name of Moose Jaw to curate an online shopping site for premium outdoor clothes and equipment. It had lined up such fancy items as Duder backpacks and Katadyn water filtration systems to appear on Walmart.com. But then the traditional stores rebelled. Led by the Grassroots Outdoor Alliance, they threatened to pull products appearing on Walmart.com from their shelves. Guess what happened next? About a third of the brands, including Leckie, Deuter, and Black Diamond Equipment, took their merchandise off Walmart's site. The retailers make a good case. They do the work and bear the expense of spinning the outdoors dream, thus adding value to the wares. It seems unfair to let an online discounter such as Walmart.com swoop in and grab the sale. The stores were already suffering under the advances of Amazon. Specialty shops, be they for cameras, clothing, or sporting goods, face similar challenges. Customers come in, take a hunk of a clerk's time, and try things. Some of them then go online to buy the desired item for $2.89 less. So here's a question for America's consumers. Are low prices always in our best interests? And what is the end game should giant online retailers become the only place to shop? The loss of bricks and mortar stores means the loss of local jobs and tax revenues. Big tech's assault on the retailing dollar raises other concerns as well. A debate is brewing over whether massive players, such as Amazon, are concentrating monopoly power that our antitrust laws should contain. Lina Khan, a legal scholar now advising the Federal Trade Commission, has compared Amazon's Jeff Bezos to Standard Oil's John D. Rockefeller of 1905. As she sees it, Bezos now, like Rockefeller then, crushes competitors through control of the industry's infrastructure. Rockefeller, for example, colluded with the railroads to put other oil men at a huge disadvantage in shipping their product. In a similar vein, Khan writes, the thousands of retailers and independent businesses that must ride Amazon's rails to reach market are increasingly dependent upon their biggest competitor. Khan concedes that it's hard for consumers to dislike a company that offers fast delivery, shoots great entertainment to their screens, and does it all at attractive prices. Heaven knows if buying lots of stuff through Amazon is some sort of consumer sin. Yours truly is headed for the hot place. But if the only consumer value is price, there's this problem. Once the octopus knocks out the competition, it is free to jack up its prices. Amazon's low prices have long been seen as a strategy to purge retailing rivals. Amazon argues back that it still faces stiff competition in entertainment, consumer electronics, and technology services. Retail is our largest business today, Amazon said in a statement, and we represent less than 1% of global retail. Well, what can we say? Is there room in this town for both the online bulldozers and the cozy merchants hanging kayaks from their ceilings and piling trail maps near their cafes? The answer so far may be yes, but for the established stores, it's been a two hands and a rope climb. Good luck to them. And now we have a column from Dear Annie. Dear Annie, I would like your opinion on a recent incident that happened to me. I went to my son's house to go out to dinner with him and his family to celebrate his birthday. When I arrived, the only person there was my granddaughter. My son was meeting us at the restaurant, and my daughter-in-law, Jean, had been called into work but intended to be back at the house shortly. She still hadn't returned by the time my granddaughter and I had to head to the restaurant, and I noticed a pot of soup boiling on the stove. I thought Jean had forgotten to turn the burner off, so I turned it off. Well, I was wrong. We all happened to return later at about the same time, and when Jean noticed the burner was off, she asked, "Who turned the stove off?" I told her I had. She looked very upset and said, "The soup was supposed to cook for 12 hours." I said, "Well, it is better to be safe than sorry." Later, I asked my son whether Jean was still upset with me, and he said she had not been upset with me. I told him I could tell by the expression on her face that she was. He then said I should not have turned the burner off and that it was her stove. I told him I was concerned that the house might catch on fire, and he said that the house is her house and that if it had caught fire, it would have been her concern. I do not like family discord, and I don't usually insert myself into their affairs. But I think that was a foolish thing to do, and I acted appropriately by turning the stove off. What say you? Signed, Safety First Director. It was signed Safety First. Dear Safety First, it's unsafe to leave a stove burning unattended. But if you keep treating this as an argument, things will get unnecessarily heated. Wait for things to simmer down before letting your son know about the fire safety issue and erase all traces of "I told you so" from your tone. When the holidays roll around, consider buying them a slow cooker. Much safer to leave on for hours. Dear Annie, I love, love, love your column. I especially love that you listen to your readers and are willing to add your answers and even alter your advice when given new information. My comment is about your response to Missing Life and Happiness, who has been married for over 25 years to a man who turns his back on her in every way possible, basically treating her as a disgusting part of his life. I agree that she should focus on herself and improve her self-esteem. However, I believe she needs to do more than discuss issues with her husband. I don't believe she should waste even one more second allowing that evil person in her life. It's time to remove him and move on. Signed, Jane G. Dear Jane, you're not the only reader who thought I should have told Missing Life and Happiness that enough was enough. I wanted to let her reach her own decision about her marriage. Perhaps I should have worded my response more strongly, as I agree with you. The way her husband has been treating her is unacceptable. Thank you for writing. And finally, we'll close with some items from the community briefs section of the commercial news. Danville, Garden Club to meet. The Danville Garden Club will have a luncheon at noon today at the Danville Country Club. Jean Holy will give a speak on Ikonobo Ikebana. Magnifier available. Danville residents can get a free lighted magnifier and evaluation from Chittick Family Eye Care from 9:30 to 11 and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Friday at the Danville Public Library. Contact the Outreach Department at 477-5227 for information. American Legion Post 210 will serve spaghetti from 5 to 7 p.m. today, with the Sapphire Band performing from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday's menu has Beef Manhattan from 5 to 7. Thursday features Italian beef, also 5 to 7. And Friday has a full menu and fish from 5 to 7:30 p.m. The Catlin Public Library at 101 Maple Leaf Drive used book sale runs through Saturday. Proceeds go to children's programming. For information, call 427-2550. And that's about all the time we have for today, Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. My name is Greg, and it's been a pleasure to read for you again. I hope you have a fantastic day. Take care.